Chapter 31. Terry Steiner entered the Grape and Gable bar of the President Hotel at 1:14 p.m. precisely. And as Harry Hirschfeld stood to greet her, he reflected that 14 minutes was hardly late at all for a beautiful woman. Terry's grandmother would have considered herself to be early if she was only that late.
"You're late," growled Harry. "No sense in letting her get away with it unscathed."
"And you are a big, cuddly, growly, lovable old bear," said Terry, and kissed him on the tip of his nose before he could duck.
Harry sat down, quickly scowling thunderously with pleasure. He decided he didn't give a good damn if Morice and Hardy, who further down the bar were listening and trying to cover their grins, repeated the incident to the entire membership of the Rand Club.
"Good day, Mrs. Steiner," the scarlet-jacketed barman smiled his greeting. "Can I mix you a Manhattan?"
"Don't tempt me, Thomas, I'm on a diet. I'll just have a glass of soda water."
"Diet!" snorted Harry. "You're skinny enough as it is. Give her a Manhattan, Thomas, and put a cherry in it. Never was a Hirschfeld woman that looked like a boy, and you'll not to be the first of them."
As an afterthought, he added, "I've ordered your lunch also. You'll not starve yourself in my company."
"You are a shocker, Pops," said Terry fondly.
"Now, young lady, let's hear what you've been up to since I last saw you." They talked together as friends, very dear and trusted friends. The affection they felt for each other went beyond the natural duty of their blood tie. There was a kinship of the spirit as well as of the flesh. They sat close, heads together, watching each other's face as they talked, completely lost in the pleasure of each other's company, the murmur of their voices interrupted by a tinkling burst of laughter or a deep chuckle. They were so absorbed that Peter, the head waiter, came through from the Transvaal room to find them.
"Mr. Hirschfeld, the chef is in tears."
"Good Lord!"
Harry looked at the antique clock above the bar. "It's almost 2 o'clock. Why didn't someone tell me?" The oysters had been flown up from Marcel Bay that morning, and Terry sighed with pleasure after each of them.
"I was out at the Sonder Ditch with Manfred on Wednesday," she said.
"Yes, I saw the paragraph in the paper."
Harry engulfed his 12th and final oyster.
"I must say I like your new general manager," she said.
Harry laid down his fork, and a little flush of anger started in his withered old cheeks.
"You mean Fred Plummer?"
"Don't be silly, Pops. I mean Rodney Ironsides."
"Has that cold fish of yours been briefing you?" Harry demanded.
"Manfred?"
She was genuinely puzzled by the question. Harry could see that.
"What's he got to do with it?"
"All right, forget it."
Harry dismissed Manfred with a shake of his head. "Why do you like Ironsides?"
"Have you heard him speak?"
"No."
"He's very good. I'm sure he must be a first-class mining man."
"He is,"
Harry nodded, watchful and non-committal. Peter whisked Terry's plate away, giving her the respite she needed to gather her resources. In the previous few seconds, she had realized that Rodney Ironsides was not, as she had believed, a certainty for the job. In fact, Pops had already chosen old plum-faced Plummer for the general managership. It took another moment for her to decide that she would use even the dirtiest infighting to see that Rod was not overlooked. Peter laid plates of cold rock lobster in front of them, and when he had withdrawn, Terry looked up at Harry. She had perfected the trick of enlarging her already enormous eyes. By holding them open like this, she could flood them with tears. The effect was devastating.
Do you know, Pops, he reminds me so much of the photographs of Daddy.
Colonel Bernard Hirschfeld, Terry's father, had burned to death in his tank at Cedar Riggs Egg. She saw Harry Hirschfeld's expression crack with pain, and Terry felt a little sick flutter of guilt. Had it been necessary to use such a vicious weapon to achieve her ends? Harry pushed at the rock lobster with his fork. His head was bowed, so that she could not see his face. She reached out to touch his hand. "Pops," she whispered, and he looked up. There was a restrained excitement in Harry's manner.
"You know, you're bloody well right. He does look a bit like Bernie. Did I ever tell you about the time when your father and I..."
Terry felt dizzy with relief.
"I didn't hurt him," she told herself. "He likes the idea. He really does."
With a woman's instinct, she had chosen the only form of persuasion that could have moved Harry Hirschfeld from his decision.